Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Debbie, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
How did you first find Organize 365?
I think it was on YouTube.
Okay.
I had a bout with cancer in 2019 and had to spend a lot of downtime. And so I kind of got interested in watching things on YouTube because I'd watched everything there was to watch on Netflix and Amazon, and there's nothing on TV. So I started watching things on YouTube, and I think that's where I found you.
So you're one of the people that finished Netflix before the pandemic even started.
Oh, yeah. I actually turned it off before it even started.
Oh, my goodness.
It got a little too sketchy for me to have it in the house with my grandchildren. So I'm like, no, we're done.
So tell us, who lives in your home with you? Do your grandchildren live in your home with you?
No, they don't actually live in my home, but they live a block away. And the oldest is almost 12 and the youngest is 5. So really, they can all literally walk over to my house. So
that's cool.
They're with Mimi a lot. Other than that, my real residents in my home are my husband of 44 plus years.
Wow.
We're high school sweethearts, so we've known each other for just this side of forever. He's retired Army. And my son, who is 42, has his own apartment now in our basement. He is high-functioning Asperger's syndrome. And he's working from home. He works for the Granite Mountain Records Vault, doing a lot of genealogy, technical stuff.
Well, thank you for your military service.
You're very welcome. The whole family gets to serve.
Yes. It's a family affair.
20 plus years.
Wow. Thank you so much. So what, okay, so you found me on YouTube. What was the impetus of searching for or finding an organizer? Why were you deciding to start getting organized or Googling organizers?
Well, I wasn't starting to get organized because I've been organizing for more years than I can count. I've always organized. My mother was quite the organizer, and so I learned from her. In the probably very late 70s, early 80s, when I had two babies, I had a good girlfriend who kept ripping her house apart and putting it back together, and she was just never getting it right. And prior to that, I thought people who were disorganized were just lazy. But I knew this girl really well, and she was not lazy. That was not, that just didn't apply. So I started helping her, and then the next thing I knew, I became a professional organizer before there was such a thing as professional organizers. And I wrote a book a year or so later, and my cousin, it was a system I had devised that helped me get everything done. And
this would have been in the 80s?
Yep, I self-published it in the early 80s. I've worked with off and on over the years in different ages and stages, and I'm very much in tune with your ages and stages things. Women definitely have ages and stages, and they're very different.
So you've only been organizing for 40 years. Professional organizer for 40
yes.
years.
Mm-hmm. Before there was such a thing.
Mm-hmm. So when you were home and you're on YouTube, what drew you, because now you've totally gone all in and totally partnered with Organize 365, and like, you were organizing before I was organizing. What was it that drew you to that video or to continue to search inside of Organize 365?
I suppose it was just the similarities with what you have put out in Organize 365. I'm not a traditional or a quote normal organizer. In fact, very much not so. I currently have a team here locally that I do work with, but normally that's not my MO. Normally I'm like a little bit of a loose missile. So I think the fact that we just had those commonalities, the progress over perfection, I recognized finally the terminology for me is actually functional organizing. I just hadn't quite nailed that descriptor, mm-hmm. which is very much me. I'm very much a teacher, not professionally, but I homeschooled the upper six grades. I've been a Girl Scout leader. I've been a Girl Scout trainer. I've been leader in direct sales. I'm always a leader teacher kind of thing. So we just matched.
Yeah, we've talked offline and we just have so many similarities. Tell everyone where you're located.
I am just barely south of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay, so if you're in the Utah area, Debbie is
it? I work with people even globally. I've worked with people in England and Canada and all sorts of different places in the U.S.
So tell me about like your current organizing stage at home. Like, what is organizing at home like? You've already mentioned you have an adult son that lives with you. You have grandchildren that can come running to you at any minute. What is it like?
Well, I think the situation is that I am in that phase where I've accomplished what you talk about. The purpose of organizing is so you can do other things, which has always been my deal. And that's always the reason I want to help other people organize. Since day one of professionally organizing, my goal was not to be Pinterest perfect at all, although I like visual order. But I feel like deep in my heart, there are so many things, big, wonderful things that women could be doing if they weren't sucked under with groceries and laundry and cooking dinner and cleaning their house. We got big stuff that women can and should and need to be doing. And if we're swallowed alive, which I have been in my early baby stage of mothering, I have been in those stages a lot for various reasons. What I'm in now is I'm in the legacy stage. I'm obviously a grandmother. My kids are grown. I'm a little bit ahead of you on the timeline. Mm-hmm. And I have time.
Yep.
And what do I do with my time? What do I do with what I've learned and what can I share? And that's what makes a good connection for me with Organize 365, because we're after the same thing. We're after helping just regular, ordinary, real people, not, you know, celebrities. I've had several coaches that wanted me to work with celebrities and people who were in charge of nonprofits and, you know, all these kinds of things. But that just doesn't float my boat.
Mm-hmm.
Real people floats my boat.
We definitely have a heart for the same homeowner. So my next question usually people answer related to some aha they've gotten from an Organize 365 product, but your aha is from a product you developed long before I even knew organizing was a thing. So why don't you explain the first time that you noticed that something was organized that wasn't organized before in your house and how you solved that? Because I think people are really going to be interested in your answer.
Well, I had two babies under two in cloth diapers because we couldn't use paper diapers on my firstborn. And I had a full-time active duty military husband, which translates to gone, not there. And then I decided I was going to start a direct sales business, which rapidly blossomed into a very large situation. And I was drowning. I have low blood sugar, 5 o'clock. I would be sitting stuck to my kitchen floor, stuck being the operative word. I had pasta, but I didn't have any sauce. I had UFOs, unidentified frozen objects, in my freezer. And I my babies were crawling all over me. And I just thought, I can't do this for 18 more years. Yeah. I just can't. I've got to fix it. So I had a weird bulletin board thing that one of my best friends in high school had made for me. And I had used it in high school and college to manage my time. And so I started converting that into a system that became my organizing without agonizing system. And the idea was that I just, I am very visual. So I had a visual tactical way to manage what needed to get done and to jiggle and juggle, because I talk now about people who are struggling with the juggling. I needed to juggle all those pieces so that I could get everything done and have dinner on the table. And, you know, I've just this morning been listening to your replay on podcast 145, and you were talking about how it makes you feel like you're together.
Yes.
And so at that point, I felt like I was together. In fact, I felt like I had another day in my week, which to go from just barely survival or not surviving to feeling like you had extra time was just fabulous. And
yeah,
then I started teaching that.
That's exactly where I was when I figured out the Sunday basket. Two kids under two, my husband working full-time away from home, you know, like in a job. He wasn't like, he was home at night. In a direct sales business that was growing faster than I could keep up with, exactly. Yep. Sitting on my floor with paper everywhere, I was like, okay, there has got to be a way to organize this.
I actually made something, the beginning stages, it's not as complex as your Sunday basket, but I called it a quick action file.
Yeah.
And so I already had that started. And so then I got intrigued. The more I learned about Organize 365, I'm like, hey, you built a very tangible business, which I didn't, for, you know, certain situations, didn't have the opportunity to do. But if I did, this is what I would have created. And so I'm just 1,000,000% on board.
Yeah, for a long time, there was no physical product because I thought the solution is really decluttering and organizing. And usually you don't even need any bins by the time you're done with that. But then I realized I had the time to do that because I had that Sunday basket as like my external brain, where I was putting things that I could let go while I got the organizing done. And when other people couldn't organize, like I couldn't get them through the organize, they kept getting derailed. I'm like, why do they keep getting derailed? I was like, oh, they don't have this external brain that they're waiting for Sunday to deal with. They're dealing with everything as it comes at them. I love this idea of feeling like you have an eighth day in the week.
And that's kind of where I was when I found you on YouTube, was I had so much time, I didn't know what to do with it. And I'm not a sit still person. And between COVID and some limitations of age and breast cancer, I was just like floating through the sea of life going, what am I going to do now? I need something to do. And
yeah,
I was working with an organizing team, but I'm very keenly aware of ages and stages, like I said. And so I know that the physical professional organizing is going to be limited. You know, I'm limited to not driving at night. So I don't take any jobs that would involve me having to drive in unknown areas at night, for sure. In very few unknown areas. Physically, I can't really work, you know, 8 hours. It's very physical work.
Yes.
And I love it. But the reality, I kept my grandmother until she was nearly 100.
Wow.
She lived in my home. And so I'm just so aware of the realities that you need to work with, you know. You can pretend that it's not coming at all, but it's coming.
Yes, years ago when I was helping professional organizers get started, and we still have a program called START, which is basically how I would get you started if you were a new professional organizer, I would often say, now you're super excited about organizing in people's homes, as was I. This has like a 5-year shelf life. And people are like, there's no way. And even my lead organizer, when she hit 5 years, she's like, I'm nowhere near being done. And a year later, she goes, I'm out. And I said, I'm telling you, it's so physical. Like, we love it. Like, I still, if you said right now I needed to go organize somebody's house, like, put me in, coach, I'm in. I would love it. I love in-home organizing. But it is... it is so physically exhausting, and like just all the dust and the mold and all, like, it's just not something that people can do really for much more than 5 years full time. Then you can kind of go to part time, and you'll find, like me, you move right into the paper organizing you can do for 25 years. Yeah. And you so can do that really, for a long time.
The last few years really been looking for what's mm-hmm. going to be a decent, logical thing long term that I could actually do. So and I think paper is going to be it. And paper, and I would have to confess, paper is the one thing that being through the sandwich generation has been just brutal.
And paper is portable. So right now, like, all of our paper organizing retreats are being done virtually. It's working just fine. But also when the world opens up and we can get to hotels again and doing it in person, it's similar to that create a memory scrapbook style where you get the conversation and the snacks and, you know, away from the house at night, but also you're doing something productive that impacts the future, and you get to ask a professional organizer, should I shred it? Shouldn't I shred it? So there is a community aspect to it that also will increase the impact of professional organizers to be able to do small group organization as opposed to driving to each individual home. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit more privacy for the homeowner. Like, you don't have people inside of your home before you get to know them. After you get to know them as a professional organizer for your workshop, then it's like inviting a friend over to help you organize your home. This is going to change the industry a little bit, but yes, Millennials, Zennials, they really do not have the paperwork that Gen X baby boomers and the silent generation have. But let me just tell you, there's so much paperwork to get through before we get to the people who don't have paperwork. It's going to keep all of us busy for the next 25 years. Like, there's a lot of, you know, caregiving, estates, moving, selling, all involves paper. Yeah. It's an industry that I believe is going to explode and grow. And then it will level off, and then it will go into a much more digital solution. But it's going to take us quite a while, 20-25 years to get through it.
I won't probably get to that point. Just because I'm further ahead than you.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay, so I would love to know, because you have so much professional organization experience, like 40 years of seeing all the great organizers that have come and, you know, left their mark on organizing. And, you know, I think of Julie Morgenstern, and there were the Slob Sisters, and like, I can remember all of them that all inputted into who I am today. What are some of the things that you have had happen that you didn't expect to happen over the last 40 years, or anything that personally you didn't expect to have happen?
Well, I've had a very interesting past. I've been a geographical widow for almost a 2-year period. My husband was sent to an unaccompanied work in Korea for a year. So I stayed home with my kids. He came in, took 30 days leave, went out the back door to what became Desert Shield, Desert Storm, the Gulf War. So at that point, you know, I had fourth and fifth graders, and their dad was in a tank in a war zone, and life was just like ugly. And I had some spiritual guidance that said, bring your kids home and just hang on. You know, you've gotten mm-hmm. through the year in Korea, but this is going to be challenging. And I didn't want my kids, I wasn't upset with the schools or the schooling or anything about that when I started homeschooling. It was purely because of the deployment situation. And I didn't want, as we all know, the CNN and stuff was just 24/7 all yep. about it. And I'm like, I don't want to risk my kids seeing something they shouldn't in a classroom. And I didn't have enough control. So mm-hmm. I brought my kids home for that purpose. Never in my wildest dreams did I think this was going to be lasting for the next, you know, the remainder practically of my kids' education. So anyway, we got through that, got the kids done. My husband became a speechwriter for a 4-star general, and that
wow.
meant a very unexpected, you can take a week if you need to move from Texas to Georgia. If you need a week, you can have a week. You know, it was just, and then we were living in inner city Atlanta, and I do mean inner city Atlanta. There were parks on the Army post that my kids couldn't even go to because there would be live bullet fire coming through
wow.
the chain link fences. I mean, we're talking pretty serious interstate stuff. So obviously I kept my kids homeschooling through those years. Then we moved to New York. My kids were entering high school. It was working for us. So if it isn't broke, don't fix it. So I continued to homeschool there, took on my second direct selling business as we moved from Georgia to New York. Anyway, things passed along, and after a little while, after 9/11, I moved back to Texas so we could be closer to family. My mother developed lung cancer and then colon cancer, well, colon and then lung, but in that period, I inherited my grandmother, and she ended up living with me for the last 4.5 years of her life, so I was in home caregiving and just paddling like crazy. And now I've kind of come through that. Grandmother passed at nearly 100 years old.
Wow.
And I cleaned up my mother's estate for about 8 years. I cleaned up my grandmother's estate. My father passed a little over a year ago. I dealt with Medicaid and all of that stuff for him.
Holy
so now
cow.
I'm just behind. I haven't taken care of me and my family and my life and my paperwork. And it's just like, ugh.
So, but how, Debbie, your house, I know it's organized. So when you say you're behind, like, what does that look and feel like for you? Because, I mean, you are a professional organizer.
Yeah. Well, my house is organized. We built a new home 2 years ago. And, you know, in doing that, we've downsized, we've decluttered, we've, you know, built an ideal situation for what we hope will be the next remainder cycle of our life.
Yeah.
Which I can't imagine. The longest I've ever lived in one house was 13 years in my last townhouse. And other than that, I've only lived in a house 6 years twice. Everything else has been a 2-year turnaround.
Wow.
And people think you clean everything out when you move that frequently. No. When you move that frequently, you don't clean out because you don't know that in, you know, 24 months, you're going to need those curtains. You're going to need that microwave.
Oh.
You're going to need... You know, your house situation changes so much that you end up not able to get rid of stuff.
Interesting.
Which is very opposite to what most people think.
Yes.
But people always say to me, oh, well, then you cleaned everything out all the time. No, that's not how it works.
Well, in having organized some military families, obviously not the experience that you have, what I was told and what I observed is the military is an extremely paper-based society and is extremely hard to get paper documents again. And there are a lot of paper documents you need every single time you move. And every time you get a new station, you have to produce all these. It's like this big red box that people have. The paperwork is significant for military families, and they often do not feel like they have a good system for it or that they stay on top of it very well.
When I had grandmother, I came across the Paper Tiger system, which is a digital system, and I've used that. I find it's more complicated than most of my clients are ready to take on. I think it's great. It took me 3 times to get brave enough to convert to it because I chicken out every single time.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And finally, on a snow day, I just bit the bullet and used post-it notes so I could back out of it if I decided it didn't work. But anyway, that worked. But it's not something that just the regular soccer mom wants to get into, I don't think. And so actually, I'm excited. My binders are coming on Thursday by 9 p.m.
So binders are so much easier to maintain. Because the information does change out. So, like, even if you have a digital system, you have to update it.
Yeah.
Or you have to print it out.
And
if you, and in order to create the digital system, you have to go through the paperwork anywhere. It's not like you digitize everything. So,
no.
The organizing of the physical paper is not optional. It is.
Well, I didn't digitize my paper, I just used theirs as a, like a Google search.
Ah, okay.
That's
okay.
What I use it for.
Yeah.
I don't scan everything. No, that's like way too much.
You know, digital is like another language for me that I don't speak.
Yeah.
I only speak the analog.
My husband's a programmer and my son is a hardware guy.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I have people for that.
I can't even talk to them at a dinner conversation. They're like, that sounds great. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, my husband is always asking me, well, do you know your password for this and your login for that? And I'm like, no, nope. I have systems for that. But yeah, yeah, I think I feel like I really want, because I'm so keen on knowing that I'm at that legacy stage. Mm-hmm. Because I've been so busy taking care of everybody else's stuff, mm-hmm. my medical binders are not up mm-hmm. to snuff of what I would want them to be. And so I want all of that to be ready. My mom did a really great job of having all that ready for me. And when she got cancer, it was very easy for her to hand things over to me. And even with that she was terribly organized, her paperwork was methodical. I mean, she's an accountant's dream, blah, blah, blah. But mine's not there yet because mm-hmm. I've been so busy taking care of hers. And even at that, with her stuff organized, it's really hard to deal with all that. You know, you're dealing with grief, you're dealing with loss.
Yes.
Suddenly my husband and I are virtually the patriarchs of the family.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really crazy. And I want all that to be as easy as I can for my kids to take care of me medically, because I've taken care of a 100-year-old person for 4 years. I know what that's like. Talk about Groundhog Day.
Oh. Yeah. Well, and I think, too, when you get the binders and you start going through them, what you're going to realize, which is what we realized when we created them, is it is paper, but especially like the medical binder, a lot of that's in your head. Like, it's just information yeah. that you know that really isn't written down anywhere, not even in your medical records with your doctors at different doctor's offices. And as a caregiver, especially, like, the financial binder is almost always something you can find on computers and inside of filing cabinets. But when you are a caregiver or you need to have caregiving for yourself, so much of it is anecdotal and remembering, especially when we think about just your son. So your adult son. A lot of what works for him with Asperger's is going to be different than what works with another adult that has Asperger's as well. Like, it's such a individualized, well, everything's individualized, but symptoms often when you're dealing with Asperger's, ADHD, the symptoms, how it manifests in that individual requires different supports, strategies, supplements, medications, services, therapies. And as you go through different stressful times, he's going to need different supports. And when it's in an unstressful time or for work, he needs this support, but at home, he needs that support. And all of that's in your head. It's not written down anywhere.
I've done a fairly good job of starting. I kept mm-hmm. a binder for my grandmother, where I wrote down all the little details of caregiving for her, so that, because at one day I realized, man, if something happens to me,
yep,
she's in big trouble, because nobody else knows what pills, what doctors, what anything. So I did have a binder for her, which I still have, actually, and I've loaned it to a few people over here and there for them to copy to set up for their caregiving situations. But to even have your finance stuff, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have yeah. all that written out like I want it.
Yeah.
And I
yeah,
know
it's a important. Big undertaking. It's a big undertaking, but so worth doing.
Not to mention the 40 years of photographs.
Yeah. That is my love language right there.
Yeah. I'm hoping it rubs off on me.
Debbie, what do you wish you'd known sooner? I mean, you're a professional organizer. Is there anything that you wish you had known sooner, or just in the history of, you know, since you've been an adult, what advice would you give to someone just starting out, like, that they don't know about organizing, or maybe a myth that they have about organizing?
Well, the word myth brings up something that I didn't mention to you before, but I'm really phobic about the word balance.
Mm.
You balance a checkbook and not much else in your world is ever going to balance. And it really drives me crazy that people think they're going to achieve work-life balance. I'm like, forget it. It's a mirage. It's not happening. You can't stand on your tippy toes or walk on a balance beam
yep.
long-term. You just can't. So that's where this perfection thing is not really what we're able to do. I use the word rhythm.
Okay. Because
you, and that's what you've created with 365.
That's nice.
Is you've created a rhythm of doing a Sunday basket, a rhythm of having the different colored slash pockets and the different, it's all rhythm based. And you can keep up a rhythm. And if you get off of a rhythm, if you're dancing or anything, you can get back in a rhythm.
I love that.
So if life explodes and takes you apart, you can get back into your rhythm.
That's such a great visual. Like, I could just see the person on the balance beam trying to balance. And that's exactly what we do. Like, we hold our breath and we start to move so slowly so we don't fall off of the balance beam. And then the rhythm, like, those images are so freeing.
Well, it hit me one day and I thought, that's it. That's the key, is people think they're trying to get balance and they need to realize that your work and your family and your life and stuff is just never going to be balanced. I mean, literally, my financial planner said to me one day, well, you know, accounting should balance.
Yeah.
Maybe. But really, nothing else balances. So I think that has been the biggest aha for me, is to just realize that and to realize that this sandwich generation, you're so busy in that survival stage that you don't even know that the sandwich thing is right around the corner, and then it just slaps you in the face.
Yeah, when you say that, I think about when my kids were little, like you said, I can't do this for 18 more years. When you're sitting on the floor with the babies crawling all over you, I had the exact same thought, like, oh my gosh, I'm in this for 18 years, so we better solve this because I can't do this.
Figure it out.
So we have that idea with, if you are blessed with and have children, you know that your in-home parenting is a certain amount of time, and then you become, you know, an out-of-home parent, or in your case, you know, you are still the in-home parent to your adult son. But we do not anticipate, like, as you've been telling your story throughout this podcast, you have been a caregiver, you have moved multiple times, the homeschooling, the home-based businesses, the cancer, your own cancer. Like, these are things that we don't, like, you didn't anticipate to be homeschooling your children for that long. It was an 18-month commitment, or however long that war was going to be commitment. Not all of their, and that's what happens. Like, we make a little commitment and then it all of a sudden lasts longer. And it's hard to understand, articulate, and realize that you will most likely be a caregiver at some point in your life and settle in a state at some time in your life. And we don't want to think about that. And it's often not just like a 6-month thing. And at that point, what I've observed happens is when you have babies, when you have kids, people may not make accommodations for you, but they're like, oh, they have kids, they're doing this, they're in that phase of life. When you're in the caregiving, the estate handling, you know, people don't really realize that's where all of your time is going, especially if they've not experienced it themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And so they don't understand why you can't also do all the other things you were doing, or you will voluntarily give up earning an income or taking care of some things at home because you're taking care of these other things, but they're all hidden. Nobody knows that's what you're doing. Whereas if you're raising children, people are like, okay, well, they're working, raising children, doing all these things. It's a much more hidden period of time that lasts an indefinite amount of time. You don't know how long it's going to take. Like, you said 8 years for an estate. So I settled my dad's in 6 months, which was super. They always told me it was super fast. Now I'm realizing how super fast it was. I mean, I had that paperwork.
Was not wrapped up for 8 years.
Wow.
My grandmother's was shorter. That was probably only a couple of years. My dad's he basically didn't have an estate. So there was nothing to deal with.
And I agree with you. I do not think people realize that sometime in your 40s, 50s, early 60s at the latest, you are going to be in one of these situations. And you think that you're getting through the childbearing years and then you're going to have your time to yourself. And it's so different than child rearing because it can be a lot of time, a little bit of time. It's totally unpredictable. You have to have other help. You have to organize other help. It's extremely expensive because you can't do it all yourself. Plus, also, you step out of work. So it's very much something that's not really talked about, but is happening everywhere and going to happen more.
Oh, and I, you know, being at the front end of the some of the baby boomer ages now, I realize that this is, there's not much help out there.
Right.
Like you say, with children, hey, you can get in a rhythm of take a nap and I'll get this done. Or you know that they are going to grow out of that. They're going to get to the point they can feed themselves, dress themselves. They can babysit themselves, you know. When you're dealing with a caregiving situation, particularly the elderly, there's, well, there is an end in sight, but it's going to go the other direction.
Right.
They're going to lose the ability to dress themselves.
Right.
To bathe themselves, to brush their teeth, to remember things.
Yeah.
You know, it's the degeneration part there that's so unpredictable, and every situation is different. I was very blessed that my grandmother was a piece of cake. She didn't complain. She didn't fuss. Her standard answers was, whenever it's convenient for you, what am I offered for dinner? You know, those kinds of responses, which I try really hard to remember, because I'm like, please let me be that way when I get old.
Make yourself a post-it note. Oh, I'm losing it? Grab the post-it note.
Yeah.
What I should be, what I should be saying.
Yeah. But even at that, you know, 4.5 years of putting out a potty chair by bed every night and taking care of medications, and she ripped her leg open on the hospital bed one time. So we went through 6 months of debriding for, you know, it's just, and it takes my husband and I had three adults in the household, and it was still a handful.
Wow.
And she was not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not always the case.
You know, I've been working so long to get my kids to the adult age so I can get out of the house and get back to work and do something for myself. And as you're talking, I'm realizing maybe that wasn't the right goal, or maybe that isn't reality. Like, living at home and caring for people at home is lifelong, and there are just different phases and stages of it. And the ones that you're explaining, I have not lived through yet, so I haven't really articulated very well.
Yeah, you learn more about Medicare and Medicaid and life insurance and trusts and wills and than you ever wanted to know. I really have to say, I got through survival years very well. I managed that, came out like a champ. But if I had to say, out of any stage of my life that has been really difficult, it has been this sandwich part, and I didn't even know it was coming. I mean, you know, when you have kids or you're adopting kids, when kids come in your world, people always say, well, you have no idea. Well, no, but you do. You expect that there's going to be diapers and sippy cups and school and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know all that. You don't know this stuff. This is like going to hit you on the side of the head. And the only thing, I think, having gone through that you can do to be ready for that is know what's
organized
by having a financial binder and a medical binder and a household operations binder. Those things will be like gold.
So
for my adult kids, and that's the gift I want to give them.
If you're like me, that also, after being on the floor with your kids when they were under two, was sitting in your car driving for 25 hours a week when you're 40 going, what happened in my life? I think another thing you're saying, and I'm realizing, is if you don't figure out how to get organized in each phase of life, then when this phase of life comes, you really are behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I wouldn't have survived if I hadn't had my survival stuff. At that point, I already had my laundry under control. I already had my house under control. My children were well trained. They had been cooking meals. You know, I had all those systems running great. So I really could let go of my life so I could take care of another life, which is what I did.
What a great way. And it's not just another life. I think the thing is, it's not just another life and it's not your life. It's different homes too. And even though your grandmother came to live in your home, if you use my analogy of mini apartments for kids, she had a mini apartment in your house. So she had a household, an estate, a caregiving in her bedroom. That was her house. You had your house. You have your adult son in the basement in his mini apartment. You really have three households in one physical house at that point.
Absolutely, you do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part that we have a hard time quantifying. Like, we know we're busy. We know we're doing a lot of things, but it's not just that you're doing laundry for all of the people in your house. Like, there truly is, once you are an adult, unless you're married, jointly married, filing taxes together, you have three different taxes, three different, like, there are a lot of things that are household related that stay separate, even if you're living in the same dwelling.
So I had four generations I was taking care of, and a married daughter, which I wasn't taking care of, but still involved with.
Counseling, yeah.
And my business, my direct sale business, and my husband had his own entrepreneurial business. So talk about nuts.
Yeah.
It just got nuts.
Yeah, so maybe the goal isn't to get organized so that we have less to do. Maybe the goal is to get organized so that we can do all the things that are required of us in our rhythms.
Yeah.
You just keep adding more rhythms in and your dance just gets a little bit more complicated.
That's very true. You know, it's just like you go from the basic to the ballroom championship kind of stuff. You're just really juggling one more ball.
Well, Debbie, I am so excited that you've joined the certification program and you're becoming paper organizing retreat certified as well. And you're going to lend all of this organizational expertise that you've gained over your lifetime with the rest of the certified organizers and help us continue to grow and develop in Organize 365. Before we go, what is your next step and what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out on their organizing journey?
Well, I think it's very important what you say about striving to just have progress over perfection. Mm-hmm. That would be very key. I think people want to assume that professional organizers are perfectionists.
Yeah.
Certainly functional organizers like you and like me are not.
Correct.
You know, if people get to know us at all, and I actually every morning now watch your Instagram thing. It's kind of the first thing I do in my morning. And I do need a friend, you know. Mm-hmm. I need somebody out there that gets me and how I think and what I want to get done. And so that has been very helpful to have the community that you've built, both with professional organizers and with the patrons of the Organizing 365. I think I say close enough is good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as an Army wife, I've had to learn close enough is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
My mom used to drive me a little crazy because she was very perfectionist. She wanted, you know, her spices alphabetized and the labels turned right and that kind of stuff. And my daughter has confessed that she used to go to my mother's house and turn the labels in her pantry to mess them up. She's a bit of a devil. But, you know, I think just realizing that everything doesn't have to be perfect, but find some systems that will serve you at this stage. And when it's quit working, when it's broke, then you need to fix it. You need to make that transition and just keep a sense of humor.
Yeah, I think it'd be great to end this podcast with a quote from General George Patton, who says, "A good plan violently executed right now is far better than a perfect plan executed next week." So with your military background, I figure that is appropriate. And even in war, you're not going for perfection. Like, if you can do something today that's going to make a difference for you tomorrow, do it. Don't worry about having to be perfect or never having to be done again. Just take action and continue to take action as you move forward. Debbie, thank you so much for being a guest on the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks so much. It was a blast.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.